The Transportation Security Administration brings in almost $2 billion in revenue every year from airport passenger security fees. TSA spends part of that money keeping its security systems up to date, but the agency still uses technologies that are proven security risks. Billy Rios is director of threat intelligence at Qualys. He says TSA isn't alone in its struggle to keep its security systems up to date. Billy, it's great to have you on the program this afternoon. You presented at the beginning of the month at the Black Hat Cybersecurity Convention about the Transportation Security Administration. And as I read your work, it strikes me that although it's certainly TSA's job to stay ahead of the curve to the degree that they can, they are not unique, not only in government, but also in the private sector at trying to stay one or two steps ahead of the bad guys. Is that a fair conclusion on my part, Billy? Thanks for being on the program today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I think that is a fair assessment. When we look at the landscape that's out there when it comes to embedded devices or Internet of Things, we see that a lot of different organizations are kind of struggling to keep up. Many organizations don't even really understand how these devices work or what the security implications are for implementing them on the network. But I do think that, organizations like critical infrastructure, like a nuclear facility, for example, power generation facilities, places like the TSA, airport screening checkpoints, I think they have an added responsibility to look at these devices, and kind of deep dive to make sure that the technology that they're purchasing, especially technology that's purchased with taxpayer money, we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars here every year, they should be robust from a cybersecurity standpoint, amongst other standpoints as well.
Federal Computer Week reports that after they talked to you about your paper and talked to TSA, TSA said their technology undergoes a rigorous certification and accreditation process in accordance with the Federal Information Security Management Act. I wonder if that's good enough, especially in light of the fact that Congress has tried on a number of occasions in the last several years to update and change the way that federal agencies do cybersecurity in light of changes that have happened since the FISMA was first passed.
Yeah, it's not enough. Those are guidelines that are meant to, for regular organizations. We're talking about high security and very sensitive positions and sensitive environments here, right? So that's not enough. Additionally, I talked to some folks. Some of the devices that we looked at, they're screening devices, to X-ray carry-on bags and things like that, and to do explosive narcotics detection, for example. They're used in other places, not just airports. But TSA has a lot of clout with these vendors, and so now, if they set a standard for these vendors to meet, I think they'll have a lot more success than, let's say, a small state courthouse or something like that. So that's why I think they have an added responsibility to kind of step up their game here and make sure that the technology that they're purchasing is robust from a cybersecurity standpoint.
And Billy, that's kind of where I wanted to go next. In the federal government and federal agencies are in a unique position because of the clout that they have with vendors. And that, I wonder if might be part of the shortcoming here, if the agencies are not maybe giving themselves enough credit for the clout that they have to be able to go to a vendor and say, it absolutely has to do this, or it has to be built this way with cyber protections built in. And if not, it doesn't meet our standard and we're not going to buy it. I would think that would, as you say, get the attention of a lot of people in the private sector, but agencies don't seem to be willing to use that clout.
Yeah, I think that's the most strategic approach that we can have. I work with a lot of different clients on embedded security, hospitals, critical infrastructure, power generation plants, some nuclear facilities. And, doing what I did for Black Hat, where you come in after the fact, after a device has been certified, after an organization like TSA has spent hundreds of millions of dollars of purchasing and acquiring these devices and then finding flaws, that's the absolute wrong way. That's the wrong strategy you want to have as an organization. You want to get in front of these problems before you acquire them, right? So when you're in the negotiating phase with the vendor, you want to outlay what your cybersecurity requirements are. And one of the key themes that we hit on during the Black Hat talk was, hey, trust what you're hearing, but verify the engineering, right? So it's one thing to have a set of requirements that you say, hey, we want these devices to be secure, and have someone say, oh, they are secure. We need to verify, right, that they are indeed secure. We need to bring some folks in before we spend hundreds of millions of dollars on this equipment to actually verify that the engineering is sound from a cybersecurity standpoint. And I think if we have those requirements from a place like TSA, who's spending hundreds of millions of dollars a year on this equipment, that sort of stuff will trickle down to other organizations that don't have that clout, like, let's say, the small courthouse and a small state courthouse or a small federal prison that's using these devices someplace. It'll help everyone if they can kind of step up their game in the right spots.
That trust but verify concept, it makes tremendous sense to me as an outside observer. And I'm struck on how I see on an ongoing basis, Billy, that it's not necessarily the coin of the realm in cybersecurity. I had a conversation the other day with Rand Coletti from Boston University. They just received a grant from the National Science Foundation to work on cloud cybersecurity. And one of the goals that he and his team are working toward is being able to guarantee that their cloud is secure. And I said, well, the nature of the relationships that I have and the conversations I have with people in federal government would lead me to think that you can guarantee it all you want, but one of the first questions you're going to get is, but what happens if there's a breach, even though you've guaranteed that? And he laughed as though, and I'm sure it did sound like an odd question to ask when you've received a guarantee. But that's the nature of the way people in government think about cybersecurity, and I wonder if maybe everybody in the research community and the R&D community in cyber doesn't think that way, and they assume that people in government and maybe people in the private sector that are buying security technology just will take their guarantees when they're presented on for face value.
Right. You know, I think we see this all the time. You know, when you look at marketing literature for various devices, when you look at the PR pitch, you know, as to whether something is secure, no one is going to tell you that their device is not secure. And no one is going to tell you that they haven't done their due diligence as far as cybersecurity goes. And that way, you know, it's important to understand that. And when you're going to make a huge investment, you know, if you are TSA, you're going to spend, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars of taxpayer money. If you're a hospital and you're going to make a huge capital investment to buy or acquire some technology that's going to last you the next 10 years, for example, you want to make the small investment to make sure that the engineering is sound. You want to bring people in to make sure that the claims that are being made by the vendor from a cybersecurity standpoint are indeed true. And I think our acquisition process, especially in the federal government, we've matured to the point where we do bring in these folks to verify certain things like UL testing and other types of test beds that we have, the national testing laboratories that we have, but they don't verify cybersecurity. And I know this because I've worked with some of these testing laboratories in the past. So we have to recognize that this is kind of a unique place that we need to do specialized testing on. And the testing needs to be done before the acquisition occurs, before we hand over the money. Because once the money is handed over and these devices are deployed out in the field, it becomes really difficult and, more importantly, it becomes very expensive to start updating these things in the field.
Billy Rios is Director of Threat Intelligence at Qualys. What are agencies not thinking about that they should be thinking about the Internet of Things, Billy?
Yeah, I think it's very important to understand that the devices that you're purchasing, they will be connected to a network, right? So all the devices that I looked at, they all have networking capabilities built into them. All the devices that we presented on at Black Hat had networking capabilities built into them. And so you'll see folks that say, hey, you know, when we bought this thing, we didn't anticipate that it would be connected to the network. We can no longer make that assumption, right? If we're going to purchase a device and put it in any environment, whether it's a high security environment, whether it's a passenger screening environment, whether it's a hospital, we have to assume that that device at some point in time is probably going to be connected to the network. And when we do our threat model, when we do our engineering verification, we need to do that with that in mind. We cannot be blind to the fact that devices are being connected to the networks at an alarming rate, and we cannot assume that new devices that we're purchasing are not going to be connected to the network, because they, in fact, will be connected to the network at some point in time in the future.
What's required there for the cultural change that has to happen to make that default position, yes, this will be on the network, rather than the default being what it is now, at least by the way you describe it in the recent past, which is, I didn't know this was going to be on there. I never thought of that.
Yeah, some things that we like to recommend, you know, to the Fortune 500, and I think it applies to the government as well. I think we're, you know, when we were working through identifying the right people to report these vulnerabilities to, you know, the vulnerabilities we presented at Black Hat, we reported all those vulnerabilities, you know, about a year ago to DHS, so everyone had plenty of time. I think one thing that people are struggling with is, who owns cybersecurity for these devices? You know, is it the CIO? Is it the CSO? Sometimes it falls under the COO, the operating folks because they own the facilities, facility devices. In the government, we should make the same determination, right? So who owns the security for these devices? And they can make those assertions. They can say, hey, look, we're purchasing devices in this day and age. We're going to have a requirement that it be secure from a networking perspective, regardless of whether we intend to connect it to the network today. Because I know that in the future, we're going to connect it to the network at some point in time. So we want to have the engineering in place. We want to have the cybersecurity robustness in place before we start to explore that those avenues, because we know that we will. So finding the right owner at the right level is probably the first step in getting your arms around this problem. And they can make those assumptions and they can make those assertions saying our policy and our engineering verification process will have these things in mind and we will measure against these standards in a way that we've set forward because we know that this is going to happen in the future.